And we are live from Twin Peaks. It is the pregame show, 1025, 1063 The Game. Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, Galleria Boulevard. Titans and Eagles. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders is here with us today.
Man, how you doing, man? I'm still feeling sad we lost our championship game, but I guess you don't care, do you?
I watched the game on Thursday.
Okay, tell me.
It was on my TV 30. Chad Withrow, Jonathan Hutton called it. D-Mace. It was pretty good.
Yes.
They just didn't play any defense, Chris Sanders' receivers didn't come through.
Okay, D-Mace, can I let me tell you how we set it up.
We need to fire the coach. this coach.
Hey, D-Mace, when he first came in, he didn't say, Chris, how you doing, man? How your week was? He's like, man, y'all defense sucks. I mean, come on, man.
Hey, I did not say that because I don't want to say that about high school kids, but yeah. I did
no,
say.
No, they play well,
what
man.
Happened what to talking? The defense?
They play well, man. They just made to play more.
But state champion runner-ups better than anything I ever did in my life.
Absolutely.
So congratulations to you guys.
Thank you, man.
D-Mace is here today. Hello, D-Mace.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Titans and Eagles, the best team in the NFL record-wise at 10-1. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Titans are 7-4 coming off the loss against Cincinnati. This is the A.J. Brown game.
Uh-oh.
Now, I do wonder what that means for both sides. Now, Chris, I believe you only played for the Oilers and the Titans. I know you went to Cleveland, but I don't think you ever played a game for Cleveland.
Why are you making my career sound so bad?
No, I'm not.
I didn't. Yeah, I played with the Houston Oilers, same team, Titans, but I went to Cleveland, went to Cam, and just kind of basically got hurt, and they sent me off back.
Okay, so you never had the opportunity to – okay. Now, Chris.
Yes, uh-oh.
You don't take, in my opinion, a lot of things overly personal. So even if you had a revenge game, I don't know. You, on the other hand, I mean, you're like Michael Jordan with the fact that I think that you sometimes take every slight personally. In fact, I'm worried that you're going to take me saying this right now personally. And you did have an opportunity after you got released by the Titans to come back with the Ravens and play the Titans numerous times, including a playoff game in which you caught the game-winning touchdown. What do you make of the A.J. Brown Titans reunion today, the rematch, or I shouldn't say rematch, but the revenge game, rival, whatever you want to call it, what do we make of it?
I think it's going to be a good game. I think this is one of those games where A.J. is going to have to control his emotion. You want to go out there and you want to play well, you want to contribute, and you want to make plays, but if you can't be – And he's one of these players, and there's nothing wrong with it, but he's an emotional player. You can have emotions and know how to keep them in check, right. But once you become emotional, you can do things that's going to hurt your team. Not saying that AJ will do that, but he has to keep his emotions in check. He got to understand this is a business, this is a business trip or a business event. And he has to conduct himself as such. He can't let himself get outside the box. And because, guys can push your buttons. And if you become emotional, you might get those 15-yard flags that you very seldom don't get. So he needs to keep his emotions in check. And if Philadelphia gets him in the game early and often, I think he will. But if they don't, I think you might see a frustrated A.J. Brown.
I think that the one thing A.J. Brown is going to have to do, he can't make it about himself. I mean, I know we say that all the time, because if he starts making it about himself, and Derek hit it on the head is you start getting penalties, you start making it about you, you start telling the quarterback to throw you the ball and not throw it to anybody else. He's got to focus on that we still have a game to win. He's got to be – we always talk about – guys, being a professional. Being professional is not just winning a sprint. Being a professional is saying, you know what? I have a job to do. I got to make plays for my team and not make it a personal thing. Because you better believe he's going to want to come out and try to prove to not just the Tennessee Titans organization, but he wants to prove to the fans that you never should have let me go. You should have signed me to a big-time contract, and I'm going to show you. There's nothing wrong with that, but put it in perspective to say, you know what? I understand how I feel, but I got to make sure it's a part of the team.
What do you think, though, is more likely? Because we all know A.J. Brown. I mean, it's easy to say A.J. Brown needs to, kind of keep it in check and think about the team first. But what about the likelihood that A.J. is going to be able to do that?
It's going to take a lot. I say if he gets involved in the game early, I expect Philadelphia to come out and try to get the ball to him in the first two or three plays, just to kind of get him in a rhythm, just to kind of – I think if you get him the ball early, then you calm that emotion down. then he's able to get into the Florida game. Now he's not thinking about, oh, the Titans let me go, and I want to come back and I want to prove to them that they should have never done that, which is he's correct. But I believe if you get him into the game and you allow him to stay with the Florida game, then he's not going to be thinking about that. Now, if you don't get him involved in the game, he's going to be pissed. He will be. And then his emotions will come out. And that might be a good thing for the Titans. If I'm the Titans, I'm frustrating them all day. I am going to put two people on him just because. I'm going to do things just because, just little things, pushing him around. You know, even in run plays, getting on him just to kind of frustrate him and see where his headspace is.
You know, the thing about it is, too, D and Jared, is if he catches a touchdown on the first series, that place is going to go ballistic. And we always talk about taking the crowd out of the game and taking these things out. But if you get A.J. involved early and he catches, like, say, a 60-yard bomb, you just gave this guy motivation to say, you know what? Yeah, I proved to you that I'm the best wide receiver, which he's not in the organization, but I'm proving to you that I'm the best player on this field. So we take him out early and not get the fans take the fans out of it. I think the Titans can definitely be successful.
You know, it's funny because I always feel like with Vrabel, we always know what we're going to get in terms of before a game talking about. And all week with Vrabel, it was, you know, hey, it's the Titans and the Eagles. It's not about A.J. I'm going to say hi to A.J. And listening to Derek talk about it, it's clearly Philadelphia's game plan is going to be to get the ball to A.J. early, make sure A.J. feels involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game plan, you know that when he got the game plan, he looked right away to see, okay, you know, how are we getting me involved? And Sirianni knew that he had to put together a game plan that would make A.J. feel like, hey, we're going to get A.J. the ball this week. They don't even have to talk about it. They just know that they have to do that. And then the Titans' game plan, to Derek's point, is going to be to frustrate A.J. Brown today. And so as easy as it is to say, hey, this is the Titans versus the Eagles, and that is the adult thing to say, and that is the thing that we'll remember when all is said and done, because at the end of the day, all anybody cares about is winning the game. Mm-hmm. The truth is both teams are thinking about the emotion from A.J. Brown and how that could affect the game today. And so I do wonder, you know, who is A.J. able to keep his emotions in check? Because if A.J. is, and the Titans are trying to hit him and frustrate him, and he's not getting the ball, and all of a sudden, you know, Jalen Hurts is running it himself, or he's just getting the ball to Devontae Smith, and he's getting it to Devontae, now all of a sudden, and A.J.'s fine with it, that's going to be tough for the Titans. Mm-hmm. But if A.J. loses his cool out there, that's probably going to be good for the Titans.
Yeah, it's going to be. Anytime you can get a player of his caliber frustrated, you know, that's a plus win for you. You know, we haven't seen A.J. in this type of environment yet because he's never been, you know, he was always with the first 3 years. He was with the Titans. 3 or 4 years he was with the Titans. So he never experienced this level of sort of not necessarily excitement, but this level of game, meaning, you know, him going to another team, going against his former team, being a Philadelphia Eagle, dealing with those Philadelphia fans, because if he doesn't have a good game, the Philly fans will make him hear.
Oh, yeah.
They will make him hear very loud, especially against your former team. So, you know, I don't think the Titans game plan is to completely take A.J. out. They don't want him to make no big plays. But you got to worry. You got to understand. It's not just him. It's Devontae Smith. I mean, that kid's phenomenal, man. So if you load up your whole, you know, defense or your secondary on A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith is going to kill you, too. He just is. The kid's good. He's going to end up having 12 catches for 200 yards and two touchdowns. And Philly ends up winning the game. Yeah, you stopped A.J., but you allowed this other kid to go off. So they got to play smart. They got to play disciplined. And when and if he does catch the football, they got to tackle him.
I was just kind of looking at the whole situation. The Titans can't lose sight. And when I say they can't lose sight is – Derek kind of alluded to what I was going to say, is if they focus on A.J. Brown consistently, there's other guys that are going to kill you. I mean, Mike Vrabel talked about, he talked about the passing game, but he also talked about Sanders. I like that last name, that he could kill you. So if you focus on A.J. Brown and say, we're just going to stop A.J. Brown, but you lose the game, then you lost sight of what you're supposed to do. And I just think that they have to overall say, you know what, we want to stop A.J. Brown. Yeah, we want to eliminate the big plays. But if we consistently just focus on stopping him, and we get beat by Smith, we get beat by Watkins, we get beat by Sanders, we get beat by the tight end, then we lost sight of the purpose of what we're supposed to do.
What do you think it's like for A.J. right now? Obviously, I think we all know A.J. wants to go out there, have 9 catches for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and the Eagles win. But do you think A.J. would be okay with 4 targets, 2 catches, 29 yards, and an Eagles victory? Or do you think A.J. rather have 150 yards and a touchdown, even if the Eagles lose? Because we know it's personal with A.J.
I would hope it would be, you know, the 2 catches, 29 yards, and they get the victory. Because if they get the victory, he won.
Right.
You know, he won even more. Not only did I get my contract and I'm on a winning team, but I beat my former team. Yeah, the stats were not, you know, gaudy. But I did whatever I did. Hopefully it was enough to help the team win the game. Now, if he goes off of 150, a touchdown or two, and they lose, I mean, I'm sure he will feel good inside about his stats. I would hope that he would think, man, we lost the game.
Yeah.
But being 10-2 is not bad either.
But which one do you think?
You did not answer the question.
Yeah, which one do you think you he actually would care about more?
You know, I think he wants those numbers. I really do. I think he wants those numbers. At the end of the day, he want to be able to look at the stat sheet and say, you know what, I put it on him. I really did.
Yeah. That's what, do I have to answer that question?
No, I'm
being serious.
I do believe he cares about whether he has a lot of catches and a lot of yards.
But even when he was here, did we ever really see that side of him being that selfish? I'm just asking.
We've never seen A.J. Brown play a game where he felt so slighted by the team that he was playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is personal between A.J. and the Titans. Okay. He never shuts up about it. He goes on Twitter all the time about it and then deletes the tweets about it. I mean, it is – I don't think it's as personal for the Titans as it is for A.J. You notice how the Titans haven't said anything about A.J. since they traded A.J., but A.J. can't stop from running to his phone and tweeting. I mean, during the Kansas City game, he tweeted that video of somebody laughing about the receivers not getting open. Byard was asked about it this week, and Byard was asked, yeah, you know, he had his tweet during the Kansas City game. I saw it afterwards, but, you know, A.J.'s got his thoughts.
But this is what I understand. I mean, if A.J. Brown wanted to be here, didn't the Titans offer him an okay contract? You see what I'm saying? So why is he so upset?
Well,
because he didn't get the 22 that he wanted, or the 25 that he wanted.
They're going to give him 20, but he didn't get 25. So is that what's making him mad, or the organization didn't show him the love that he thought he should have got?
Well, the love that he thought he should have got was $25 million worth of love.
Yeah, so
and they didn't give it to him.
So that's where he's mad about, because
Derek loves the Titans, and he's still mad about the love that he didn't get shown.
Yeah, I mean, he's
– I know, and he should have got the love. I agree with you 100%.
And he – I mean, yes, I think A.J. cares about all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, good part of it that, – that's what makes him the player he is. He's a passionate player, but he got to understand there that you can have passion – but you also have to play with a sense of control as well. You can be emotional. You can have emotions, but you can't be emotional out there on the field. You got to understand what's going on. And if you get the win, that's great. But I understand. He wants those numbers, best believe.
I got a stat for you guys.
Yeah,
you ready for this?
Well, it is.
2006. Derek Mason, 5 targets, 3 targets, 7 targets, 4 targets. Playing the Titans with Steve McNair in Nashville.
Don't say my targets.
13 targets.
Yeah, all together.
I don't think that's an accident that it went from 5-3-7-4, 13-5-6.
Hey, can I comment a little bit?
I didn't realize that.
I don't think that's an accident, D-Mace.
Hey, well, let me comment on that. D-Mace, we had some great wide receivers in 1999, right? Uh-huh. But if you caught 5 and Dyson caught 5, nobody cared.
Yeah, we're on a different type team. There.
Yeah, but the thing about it is we wanted to catch the ball. We were all competitive, and we wanted to make those plays. But the one thing that we had is our vision was to go to the Super Bowl. But we didn't allow me not getting 12 catches or you not getting 13 or Kevin Dyson not getting 12. We didn't care about that. Now, I think that's what made our team different.
I'll tell you what, though, in 2006, when Steve McNair was quarterback in the Ravens and Derek was on it, clearly by the target count. I mean, that's all I got. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the four biggest storylines of today's game. We'll move the chains. We are live at Twin Peaks out here in Cool Springs. Chris Sanders, Derek Mason. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, it is the pregame show here, 102.5, 106.3. The game, former Titans receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason. It's time now to go and move the chains with our friends at TriStar Moving. TriStar Moving, five-star service with TriStar Moving, my official movers. And, of course, we start at first down. Tough loss for the Titans last Sunday against Cincinnati, falling 20-16. The Titans unable to get the ball back in the fourth quarter because of a personal foul from hitting the snapper in the head. Not only that, the Titans struggled inside the red zone for the first time. And Joe Burrow clearly has the Titans number 3-0 for Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow against Tannehill and Vrabel. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
What do we make? What was our takeaway from what happened last Sunday?
You know, we always talk about Mike Vrabel want to set the tone and be physical. And I think that the Cincinnati Bengals did the exact opposite or did what Vrabel wanted to do. They were physical. I mean, and it started with the first play of the game. Look at what is that guy's name? I pronounce his name bad.
Pirine.
Pirine. He somebody told me Pirine. Man, he told me that.
Pirine.
Yeah. No, but they were just physical all over the place. And if you look at the first play of the game, when they threw the swing pass to Pirine, whatever his name is.
Pirine.
The stiff.
Say with me. Pirine.
Pirine. Yeah, whatever. Pirine. When he stiffed David Long Jr., look at the sidelines. They were actually going crazy because everybody talks about Mike Vrabel playing physical at the line of scrimmage and playing physical on the perimeter. Look at exactly what the Cincinnati Bengals did. They did it on offense. They did it on defense. They did it on special teams. So when you have a team that's playing physical and you're usually wanting to hit people in the mouth and they hit you in the mouth, it's kind of like that Tyson and Douglas. Mike Tyson was dominant, but Douglas said, you know what, I'm going to hit you in the mouth first, and he didn't respond. And that's exactly the situation that happened with the Tennessee Titans and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Titans tried to come out and play physical, but the Cincinnati Bengals set the tone by playing absolutely physical.
Well, I mean, they were able to – it was almost in a sense like you got this – not necessarily a bully, but this tough guy or this tough crew. And they come in and you come into their place and they feel they're just going to push you around and bully you, and that's going to be the end of it. And then you throw one of those punches, and they're like, whoa, this is going to be a fight.
Absolutely.
So it was going back and forth. And – you know, the Titans just – they didn't do enough well to win that game last week. Cincinnati came out, and I like the play you brought up, Chris, the Pirine play, because that was early in the game, first couple of plays. Yep. And he's – I've never seen Long Jr. get stiffed arm like that. And when he got pushed to the ground, it was almost reminiscent of what Derrick Henry does to people, and it demoralizes you. Mm-hmm. And I think that got the Titans' attention, that play. Like, whoa, they're here to play. And they just made more plays than the Titans. I mean, you know, when you're 6'4", and the defensive back is 5'9", there's not much you can do as a defensive back.
Especially when the quarterback can put the ball right there.
Absolutely. And that's why I said the Titans, they didn't do much wrong. Yeah, they capitalize more in the red zone because they are a good red zone team.
Well, they hit the snapper in the head.
Yeah, the snapper in the head. That's one of those plays, man. It's, you know, you got to be aware because the minute you block down, that guy is going to push you that way. And the refs is not – it's too close. The ref is not going to sit there and say, well, did he push him into, you know, the center or not? Don't put yourself in that position where the penalty will get called. And you had both guys, not just one guy. They only singled one guy. Yeah. They singled T.R. Tartt, but it was both guys they hit the center. Those are plays that just gets on a head coach's nerves. We go over this all the time. This is a point of emphasis in the National Football League. Do not hit the center. And you go and hit the center and you lose the game.
You know,
that takes us to second down. Derrick Henry not effective on the ground against the Bengals, 2.2 yards per crack. In fact, the Titans, who hit the bye week 6th in the NFL in rushing, are now 12th in the league in rushing. That is for the Titans to be 12th in the league, that is somewhat alarming. And Derek Mason, not only that, 22nd in the NFL in yards per carry at 4.2 yards per crack. D. Mace, how worried are we about the Titans running game?
I'm not overly concerned about this running game. We've seen it at times, you know, have you know, two or three subpar games, but they've always been able to bounce back. And this is a good week to bounce back. Yeah, Philadelphia has a really good team, but their yards per carry, what they're giving up, is one of the highest in the National Football League. So that alone should make you feel good about your running game. I think last week, Cincinnati's front, they were highly motivated to come out and win that game.
And they're good.
They're good. Absolutely. And Philadelphia's they have a good front, but it's just something about NFC teams, man. It's just like the SEC with the AFC. It just means more. I think in the AFC, that grimy, you know, hard-nosed type of football just means more in the AFC than it does the NFC. You don't see many NFC teams playing that way. So when it comes to the Titans and the Eagles, I think they're going to be able to exert their will on that defensive line. Are they going to win? I don't know, and I'm not giving that yet. But I think the Titans will be able to run the football.
You know, this is what Mike Vrabel said. He said this quote. He said, "We couldn't move them." And what does that mean? That means that the Titans, the Tennessee Titans offense line wasn't playing physical. I mean, I know everybody's looking at Derrick Henry. Oh, he's not running well. He's not the back that he was in when he had the 2,000 yards. But you can't be a great back if right when you take one step, there's somebody hitting you in the backfield. There's four or five guys in the backfield. So everybody knows that Derrick Henry needs to get started. He needs to get that momentum to get to the second level. But if you're getting hit on a safety blitz and you get your legs taken out, how are you going to be that explosive back? How are you going to be that back to get to the second level if there's four or five guys in the backfield? So it's not just Derrick Henry not making the explosive run. It's the offensive line, when they're running the outside zone, getting beat to the gap. And I think that's what the problem is.
That takes us to third down. According to the FanDuel Sportsbook app, Jalen Hurts is the second leading favorite behind Patrick Mahomes. He is second right now in terms of MVP voting. Jalen Hurts had a season last year in which the Eagles made the playoffs. This year they're 10-1. Hurts is operating one of the top offenses in the league. They've got A.J. Brown. They've got Devontae Smith. But they are really leading the way with their running game. Miles Sanders and Hurts together in the backfield. Chris Sanders, yes. What do we think about Jalen Hurts as a quarterback today?
You know, sometimes we always talk about that adversity makes you into the man that you are. I mean, if you look at a couple of years ago, they said he'll never be a great quarterback in this league. I mean, when he started, everybody said he can't throw the ball, he can't lead his team. He looked like a totally different quarterback now. He's in the pocket, he's playing with confidence. Yes, he has some weapons on the outside with A.J. Brown and Watkins and Smith. But he just looks like a totally different player. He stands in the pocket tall. He does that zone read. And he just looks like he's taking a team and putting it on his back and say, listen, follow me and watch me. And that's what I see. The reason why I say this is because he's playing with confidence and he's a leader.
Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, are you a Jalen Hurts believer?
Yeah. I don't see how you can't be.
I'm not.
This is a guy that, but if you look at his career, and we're going back to just Alabama, and I understand he was a terrific high school player, coached by his dad. But I think the years in Alabama, you saw him mature as a player. Yep. He's a winner. He understands what to do, when to do it. This is a kid that
great
doesn't
attitude.
Get. Yeah, yep. He doesn't get, like, the moment doesn't get too big for him. And what told me that is the game. In college, when Tua went down, he came in the game he was on the sideline the whole game, didn't think he was going to play. He came in the game and led them on a game-winning drive. That shows you a kid that the moment is never too big for him. Last year in Philadelphia, he led his team to a playoff game, albeit they got crushed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I believe.
Yes.
But you saw the progress in him.
Yep.
What makes you think the progress that he made from going from Alabama to Oklahoma, and he was a Heisman Trophy finalist, it's the same progress that he made from year two to year three now, or year one to year two. They've surrounded weapons around this kid. This kid understands how to play the game of football. He may not be flashy. He may not give you 5,000, 6,000 yards, you know, 40-something touchdowns, but he's a winner,
yep.
And he deserves to be in the run for the MVP by the way he's played. And his team's 10-1.
I think he reminds me of Tannehill 2 years ago, the 2020 Titans. Mm-hmm. Where they had Arthur Smith coordinating, mm-hmm. Derrick Henry running the ball in his prime, Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith. It wasn't like all those guys were the best players in the league at what they did, though Derrick Henry obviously was. But all those pieces were so complementary together, mm-hmm. and the play caller as well, that it made Tannehill look like an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about Hurts, is they've got two receivers for him, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. They've got a running back, Miles Sanders, for him. They've got a good offensive line. They've got the Andy Reid scheme. I think that all those things together have propelled Hurts up. I think Hurts has the leadership skills. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's got elite leadership skills for a quarterback. And I think the two examples, Derek brought up one when he came off the bench in the SEC championship mm-hmm. game and led Alabama. And I think when he got benched in the national championship game mm-hmm. yep. and Tua threw the touchdown pass and he ran out on the field and picked up Tua
that's
after throwing,
man.
To me, Jalen Hurts has all of the intangibles of the position. But I just don't know if he's got, like, the elite talent at the position to be able to elevate the Eagles once they get into the nitty-gritty of the playoffs or they're playing elite-level teams.
But you know what? I kind of agree with you to an extent, but one guy that you really want leading your team is a guy who has quiet confidence. See, I think sometimes we look at a great quarterback as he's boisterous and yelling at people on the sidelines and mm-hmm. screaming. We think that he's a great player. This guy is just confident in what he does. When he makes a mistake, he goes and talks to the receivers. He talks to the offensive coordinator. He talks to the quarterback coach because he wants to get better. And just watch his demeanor on the field. Watch his body language. Watch what he does. Even though, you know, we have like a Brady that did a cuss somebody out, which is he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Dan Marino, he'll let you know. You know, Aikman to cuss you out, yell at you and do all these things. But just because, you know, Jalen Hurts does it in a quiet way doesn't mean that he's not a great quarterback.
Well, we ran out of time for fourth down, mm-hmm. but the Titans special teams have been so bad last week that it's not even worth getting into. That's
well, they got
chains.
Rid of the kicker, so it don't matter.
They can let the kickers go everywhere.
Hit the snapper in the head. Bob Shoup said, every kid at Father Ryan High School knows not to hit the snapper in the head. Unbelievable. Coming up next, we'll That's take crazy. A look inside the playbook for the Titans on offense. Oh. What are they going to do to get back on track against the Eagles? That's coming up next. We're live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Guys, I'm just going to say it like this. Mm-hmm. I hate the Titans offensive coordinator.
Oh, there you go.
I hate
why?
The offense. I'm going to tell you why.
It's Christmas.
I hate the Titans offensive coordinator because he keeps playing the bad players. And it's driving me crazy. 0-3 in the red zone. You want to know how you go 0-3 in the red right. zone, Chris Sanders?
How do you do it?
You throw the ball to Jeff Swaim on first down. You want to know how you go 0-3 in the red zone?
Yeah.
You hit a bomb to Treylon Burks. You get the personal foul, 15-yard roughing the passer penalty, which I thought was a little iffy, honestly.
Yeah.
But you get the 15-yard roughing the passer penalty, and you bring in Jeff Swaim and Cody Hollister and Kevin Rader, and you say to the Bengals, hey, guys, we're running it. And then you run it two plays in a row, and now it's third down, and now Tanner Austin. The offensive coordinating is driving me crazy because I do think the Titans have the players on offense mm-hmm. to be decent, efficient, not great,
right.
not Peyton Manning and the Colts, mm-hmm. but they've got the players on offense to be okay. And instead, they're 29th in the league, and it's this play caller who wants, instead of going with the flow of the game or putting Tannehill in position to be successful or putting the guys on the field to give them the best chance to win, he's got his laminated play card in front of him, and he's looking around and says, you know what? We like this when we put it together on the whiteboard. 29, double gap, eagle shoot, queen, X, Y, double crazy. Queen. And it's like, what? You really think we should run this triple reverse for Cody Hollister here? Just run the play. That is what's happening to the Titans. I hate it. I hate it. It's driving me crazy. Okay. Just keep it simple. Simple, simple, simple. Well, experts, go ahead.
Well, you don't have to. One thing you don't have to worry about is Cody Hollister this
week.
Out.
So
he's out.
The secret weapon for Todd Downing is out.
The secret weapon is out.
The secret weapon.
Todd Downing might have to retire this week. I mean, what's he going to do without Cody Hollister? He can't dial up any more plays for him.
Y'all know how I feel about this whole, you know, the whole shuffle of the formations and the shuffling of the personnel. I mean, I just don't like it. I think your key players, your money players, need to be on the field. You know, every play, more importantly, the money plays. When you're in the red zone, Treylon Burks should never come out the
game.
Chig Okonkwo should never come out the game. Robert Woods should never come out the game. Derrick Henry should never come out the game. Austin Hooper should never come out of the game.
Did he say it?
Austin Hooper actually has some value.
He should never come out of the game. He has a little value, man. Kind of. But when you're in a position like that, you want to – it's like all hands on deck. And when I'm – you know, all hands on deck is my key players. So there should never be a situation where you feel, well, I got to throw in Jeff Swain in the game because, say, Austin Hooper can't block well enough or Chig Okonkwo can't block well enough. Damn it, you better learn how to block.
Jeff Swain blocks.
Exactly.
You know, he ain't an awesome blocker. John Runyon out there at tight end.
Yeah, so to me – You got to say, damn it, throw that stuff to the window. Put my money players out there on the field.
Yeah.
Because now you're getting to a point in the season where everything you means something. And you can't say, well, we can get that back next week. No, next week's going to turn to the week after that or the week after that. When you are in a position to score points, your money players need to be in the game.
Yep.
When you are in a position to move the field, ball down the field, your money players need to be in the game. I just don't understand it yet. I don't understand the flip-flopping of personnel. It kills me.
You know, I agree with you 100% because when we get in the red zone, we know, especially me and Derek, is it gets tighter and tighter and the windows are even smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. So why not have your best players in the game? You know that Burks has a big body. He's big with 6'3", 6'4". Throw the ball up and let him make a catch or make a run a slant to where he can catch the ball and runs yards after the catch, things like that. So, what you looking at?
I don't think Burks is 6'4".
I don't know. I made it 6'1".
He's got a big body, but that ain't the big.
He's got a big body, not a big body. I tried to make it sound so good, man.
6 foot.
You know Jared wasn't going to let that pass.
That's why he was looking at me.
Did you say the same thing?
Yeah, I thought it like this. He's 6'3", 6'4".
I wanted to sound so good.
Man, he's like 6'1".
Here's my thing on the personnel shuffling.
Yeah.
I don't mind in the red zone if instead of two tight ends, you take Okonkwo out of the game and you put in Westbrook Akine to go with three wide receivers, you go 11 personnel.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is 86, Raider.
I agree, 100%.
44, Carter. 8, Hollister. 87, Swaim. I have a problem with that. I don't mind on third and goal from the 8. I don't mind Dontrell Hilliard coming in and Derrick Henry going out. I'm fine with, you know, subbing guys in and out based on the situation. I just think to make it as simplistic as possible, mm-hmm. I think they play the bad players too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what drives me crazy. But, and don't think that Vrabel's not culpable in this, too.
No.
Because I heard that – remember when Vrabel was asked about the play calling with Downing?
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, yeah, Todd's the one who tells the quarterback what play to run.
Uh-oh.
And everyone's kind of trying to parse the words with Vrabel. I heard – that Vrabel's calling a lot of the offensive plays.
But, see, that's a problem because he's a defensive-minded guy, especially when you're in the red zone. You got to do plays. I mean, you're not going to take any shots down the field because the field is shortened. So you got to run plays that can get the ball in the hands to your playmakers. And I'm talking about getting the ball to your playmakers. Run like a shallow cross to Burks that's 6'3", 6'2", 6'1". To catch the ball to where he can break those tackles. So even though, you know – you know, and I'm just doggone mad. They need to have those guys in the game, man, because it doesn't make any sense to where you're taking out all your good players and you're putting in all the bad players. This is the first time I agree with you, Jared, that they got to keep those explosive players in the game. When you put like Hollister and Swaim, do those guys scare you when they're in the red zone? Absolutely not.
Do they scare you out of the red zone?
No, they make me happy when they're on the sidelines.
I'm glad they're in the game.
If I'm the defense.
Yeah, if I'm the defense, I'm glad they're in the game.
Like, yeah, but keep your playmakers in the game.
Coach Shoup said that, you know, when he watched the film, He said that as a defensive coordinator, you know, he thought that maybe the Titans, when they got to the red zone and realized that by bringing in these big people, they weren't going to push the Bengals at all, that they should have brought more speed onto the field and spread Cincinnati out a little bit.
They can't spread Cincinnati out because their offensive line is not good enough.
They get killed.
No, yeah. I guess the way I'm looking at it, he was talking about running RPOs.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then that way Tannehill drop it off short, whatever. I do believe this about today's game, and I believe this about last week's game. The passing game has to set up the running game. The Titans' offensive line, it's a backup offensive line. I know they're getting Ben Jones back today, which does make a big difference. Mm-hmm. But it's the Titans. Everybody knows the Titans are going to try to run the ball. Mm-hmm. The Titans are not shy about that. But the Titans have got to use the passing game to set up the run. When A.J. Brown was on the team and on the field, the threat of A.J. Brown doing something was there. And so you didn't need to use the pass necessarily to set up the run because the threat of the pass existed in A.J. Brown. Right now, it doesn't. Yeah, Treylon Burks has caught a couple of balls the last couple of weeks. That's not enough for that to represent a huge threat to the Eagles. So I think today we need to see the Titans, and I know they're going to try to come out there and establish the run, but I think the Titans need to sit down with Derrick Henry and they need to say, hey, we have got to help you by passing the ball. I would like to see the Titans go out there early with Henry in the game and pass the ball on the Eagles in early downs in order and almost use that short passing game with guys like Hooper and Woods and Westbrook and even Henry out of the backfield. Use that as essentially a de facto running game today.
Well, I mean, they could start off like that, but the Titans are always going to convert back to who they are, and that's a run-based team.
But once you use the pass, like in Green Bay, the first third down of the game, they hit the ball deep to Burks for the bomb.
No, you're right.
Once they do that, the running game is able to – there's going to be more there once the threat of the pass exists.
Well, Philadelphia, I guarantee you, Philadelphia is in their room right now, their secondary room, saying, listen – we can't allow, even though I understand that he hasn't done a lot in this league yet, but he has proven if we play this guy one-on-one, he's going to torch us.
Talking about Burks?
I'm talking about Burks, yes. He's a big body guy. He can go up and he attacks the football. He runs well after the catch. He is reminiscent of a young A.J. Brown, and you don't want to get him started. So Philadelphia, they're going to concentrate on not allowing Burks to get to be an impact in the game, especially early. Because like you said, Tennessee, they might come out and say, listen, we know that they feel we're going to run football. Well, let's go out, let's complete a couple passes, get those guys kind of softened up a little bit, and then go to the run game. How long they can stick to that, I don't know, because that's not their DNA. Their DNA is running a football. So can you convert now to a more pass-heavy football team? Just for one game or for the remainder of the season, I don't know if the Titans can do that because they are built so heavily to run the football.
And I think that the Titans are a little gun-shy, and I'm going to tell you why. You look at last year when they played the Cincinnati Bengals in the playoff game, everybody thought they were going to get the ball to Henry. What was the first play they do? They throw interceptions. So I don't know if that's in the back of Todd Downing's mind to where I'm afraid to, and I'm not saying he's afraid or scared. I'm just saying that he's, you know, hesitant to really throw on first down because they're not good when they're behind the chains. So when you're behind the chains, I think that he gets nervous when he tries to call a play because he doesn't want to be behind the chains.
I think, too, on top of this for the Titans, I do think that we need to recognize the fact that Philadelphia, if I was Philadelphia, I would just put Darius Slay on Treylon Burks and say, let me see if Treylon Burks can – I mean, Darius Slay is probably an all-pro corner right now just because the Eagles are winning and he's playing well.
Yeah.
You know, so – I think I would just do that and then see if Burks can beat a Darius Slay. I don't know if Burks can beat Darius Slay consistently.
Well, I mean, no one knows because he hadn't been put in that position. but these offenses, you know the way these offenses are ran now, man. It's, you know, it's hard to put one guy just follow around with another guy.
Sure.
Very seldom.
And the way defenses want to do it now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's like I don't know if Philadelphia will do that. But I'm sure they will be mindful of what Treylon Burks has done the last two games. He's had at least one catch over 20 yards the last two games, and they don't want that to continue.
The Eagles' offense is bordering on elite, and they've got A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
We'll go inside the defensive playbook. What is Mike Vrabel's plan against A.J. Brown and the Eagles? We'll get to that next. Live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, it's the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the Playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. On defense, the Eagles are an elite offensive team. Jalen Hurts, as we mentioned earlier, second right now in the MVP race, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook app. A.J. Brown at wide receiver, Devontae Smith at wide receiver, Miles Sanders in the backfield, Lane Johnson on the offensive line, Jason Kelce's the center. All those guys I just mentioned are probably going to the Pro Bowl this year. Jeez. It's going to be loaded. The Titans' defense last week against Cincinnati was good, but it wasn't good enough, especially when it mattered. They did not force turnovers last week, and they did not really pressure Joe Burrow. How concerned, Chris Sanders, are we about the defense today against Cincinnati's offense?
You know, I'm a little concerned.
Excuse me, Philadelphia's offense.
But I think, you don't confuse me. What did you say now?
Philadelphia's offense.
Philadelphia. Okay, yeah, here we go. You know what? The one thing I don't want the Titans to really, really do is focus on A.J. Brown. I mean, they're going to focus on A.J. Brown because he's a focal point. And I want to kind of read this quote. I kind of looked on my Facebook page. He said this. He said, I know that they're going to be coming. They're going to be chirping. But it really doesn't mean anything, to be honest. I feel like I won. I don't want this to be a personal thing to where, okay, we're going to take A.J. Brown out of the game and not focus on those guys that you named. Because Mike Vrabel alluded to it earlier this week. He said, we got to stop the running game. I know they got Devontae Smith. I know they got Hurts. I know they got all these great players, but they got to stop the run. They got Sanders, which I love his last name. He has over 900 yards. Mm-hmm. So if you don't stop the run and you focus on A.J. Brown and you do all these things and not stay to your game plan, it could be a long day because you're giving up those explosive plays by those other guys as opposed to A.J. Brown.
Derek, what is the game plan, given the fact that Philadelphia is so effective on the ground, both with the quarterback and the running back, but we know they're going to get A.J. Brown the ball early?
Well, you got to establish the line of scrimmage, I think, first and foremost. And it's going to be hard to do because Danico Autry's not in the lineup. You have a banged-up Jeffrey Simmons, an often injured Bud Dupree. This defensive front right now is struggling from a health standpoint.
Is there any question, by the way, how valuable Danico Autry is when you watch his team without Danico Autry?
No, it's huge. It's huge. It's almost, you know, we know what the effects would be losing Jeffrey Simmons. Everybody understands that. But I don't think we really realize how important Danico Autry was to this defensive front. He's sort of the glue guy. He's the guy that you can put anywhere on the defensive line, and he's going to play his game. He's going to make you pay for double-teaming Jeffrey Simmons. So, to me, they got to reestablish the line of scrimmage. And then, from a secondary standpoint, they got to communicate.
Yes.
You know, because you saw what happened last week with one number one receiver in Higgins. They were not able to stop him, especially in crucial times. Now you have basically two number one receivers going out there each and every play in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. So there must be communications. We saw some gaps last week, whether it was Hooker or anybody else. We saw some at times they miscommunicated in that secondary. You can't have that against Philadelphia. For one reason, you can't have that because of Jalen Hurts, his ability to create a pocket outside of the pocket to buy time and then find a guy down the field. So you have to be communicating on all fronts from a secondary standpoint. So to me, they have to, one, establish the line of scrimmage once again and then communicate from a secondary standpoint.
Yeah, and then also, too, they got to tackle in space. If you look at last
week. I was just thinking about their tackling last week was awful.
But you know why? Because the first play of the game, when they were physical, and we talked about this, and I'm not being disrespectful to a player, and I'm not saying he's soft or none of that, but when you start turning your shoulder and missing tackles, that means the other people are imposing their will. And we saw that against the Cincinnati Bengals. Those guys were physical, and those guys were missing tackles. Even Byard alluded to it in some of his interviews that we got to start making tackles. And when you say that, that means you're not playing the physical game that you're accustomed to playing.
Here's one thing I find to be fascinating. I watched this on that NFL matchup TV show that ESPN has where they, you know, go over the film or whatever. Mm-hmm. Something Philadelphia really likes to do is they like to use the tight end inside the red zone as kind of like the signal to Jalen Hurts as to what the defense is going to do. So what I mean by this is they like to use the tight end for Jalen Hurts to be able to see, does the safety cover a man or is it a zone? Then the tight end, if it's a man, he runs a stick route, in comes the safety, and then they throw a dig to A.J. Brown coming over the top. If it's a zone, the tight end will then take the safety with him on a post route, and then coming behind on the dig is A.J. Brown, and they'll drop it off for a touchdown. I was talking to Chris about this. Dallas Goedert, their tight end, is out. So their starting tight end is Jack Stoll, who has 5 catches for 56 yards on the season. I think what Vrabel's going to do is he is going to try to confuse Jalen Hurts by dropping the safety off the tight end and running him right to the receiver. And that means the tight end will be open. But I think they're willing to do that if it takes away Jalen Hurts and kind of makes Jalen think during the play, as opposed to, oh, I see the tight end go here, throw it there, or I see the tight end go here, throw it there. Instead, it's going to be, oh, wow, now I can't throw it to AJ, now I have to throw it to the tight end.
Well, I mean,
I think Vrabel is going to confuse Jalen, or at least try to confuse Jalen Hurts.
Well, that's what you want to do to a good quarterback. You want to make him think until the final second, until he has to snap the ball. If you allow him to see the defense when there's 10, 12 seconds left, that's a win for the quarterback. But if you disguise it to a point where, you know, you're showing everything at the last second, now as a quarterback, my process has to speed up just a little bit more. And that may cause, you know, the play to falter on an interception. Hell, we saw it a few weeks ago with Ryan Tannehill. When the safety was in the box, he held long enough. When Tannehill turned his back, then he got into his defense. And what happened? Tannehill never saw him, and he threw an interception. That's how you confuse a quarterback. You make him think until the last second, not knowing which defense it is. And I'm sure they're going to try to do that. But if they continue to give up that tight end play after play after play, eventually they're going to have to switch to take the tight end away.
One thing that I do also think, as far as Titans defense is concerned, is – and this drives me as crazy as the putting Jeff Swaim in the game is starting to drive me crazy. The rush lanes are getting all kind of screwed up when Weaver's in the game. And, you know, Weaver tells TD that he actually did the right thing when Patrick Mahomes broke out in the Kansas City game. But it's like every time I see Joe Burrow or Mahomes or one of these quarterbacks break a big run, the rush lanes are always screwed up. One guy goes inside, the other guy doesn't go outside. And Weaver is always on the field every time that happens. Not saying it's always his fault.
Yes, you are.
But Weaver is always in the field. If they do that this week with their rush lanes, Jalen Hurts may pop off a 55-yard run.
Yeah.
And that scares me this week.
And that's kind of what Derek was talking about. They all have to be on the same page and communicate that if you're supposed to be a dog blitz and get in your zone, you got to make sure you're there. Because just like what you said, Jerry, you made a great, great point that if those rush lanes are not there or if those – I mean, whatever it is, and Jalen Hurts gets loose, then he's going to make that explosive play that he's capable of making because you're not playing assignment football. And if you're not playing assignment football and you get out of position, then that's when Hurts can beat you. That's when A.J. Brown can beat you because guys are not in a position to make those plays.
Are we down on the Titans defense right now? I'm a little down on the Titans defense.
I am not overly down. I do have some a bit of concern just because of the injuries. But I'm not looking at this defense and said, oh, my goodness, you know, just because of one game or two games, oh, you know, this defense is getting worse throughout the season. No, I think they're banged up. I think they're trying to, you know, just hold on for as long as possible until their guys come back. And you saw last week not having, you know, Danico Autry in the game, it does affect them from a run standpoint. It does affect them getting to the quarterback because now all the attention can be paid to Jeffrey Simmons and no one else on that defensive line, not even your man Bud Dupree, has proven that he can get to the quarterback. Bud Dupree played a bad game last week.
I thought Bud Dupree was terrible.
Really
he
bad
can't
game.
Move with bad
and I'm, and yeah, I'm the biggest Bud Dupree supporter
bad.
There is, and
he
I thought he was
move.
Awful
he was getting
week.
Just stopped, like play after play, where he it was just his feet stopped moving.
Because his hips, man, you can't
so, move. So without having Danico Autry, that it's big. Again, but again, we've seen this from Mike Vrabel year after year. He's always found a way to insert a guy, and they go in and they play well. So I'm looking for that to happen this game.
Who's in, who's out for the Titans? We'll take a look at it. Who's in, who's out for the Eagles? We'll get into the injury report, the inactives. We already know the Titans are going to be without their secret weapon this week. Cody Hollister is out with a neck injury. We pray for his recovery. And the hopes that Cody Hollister can come back to save this football team. That is coming up next, live from Twin Peaks. It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. It is the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It is time now for the injury report. Who's in and who's out today for the Titans? The inactives, defensive back Elijah Molden is out. Defensive lineman Danico Autry is out. Running back Hassan Haskins is out. Julius Chestnut was added from the practice squad. He is active today. Defensive lineman Naquan Jones, offensive lineman Jordan Roos, outside linebacker Sam Okawanu, and the secret weapon himself, wide receiver Cody Hollister.
No way. Come on, Cody.
Out for the Titans. Come Any on, thoughts as to what that means, that the Titans are going to go without Hassan Haskins, who plays a little bit, plays a lot on special teams, plays a little bit in the running game, probably split some of these third down carries. I think they like Haskins as a pass protector in third down more than Hilliard. Do we think this means more work for Dontrell Hilliard?
I think so. It's obviously, I think it's going to be some more work for him in regards to you know, special teams. He might have to play a little bit more special teams than he did previously, but I think also this gives him an opportunity to be in the game more, because now, you know, those 8 or 9 snaps that he got is not split. You know, now he can get, you know, 10 to 12 snaps instead of, you know, him having 9 and then Haskins coming in for, you know, 2 or 3 plays here and there. Those 2 or 3 plays can go to Dontrell Hilliard, which they should. I think he's earned the right for that to happen. I think he's a playmaker. I think he's a guy that you can line up in the backfield, on the wing, in the slot, on the outside, and he's able to make a play because of his versatility. So, you know, but with the other ones, the only biggest loss for me is, obviously, we talked about it earlier, Danico Autry. Everybody else is you know, okay.
This is not a bad injury.
No. Exactly. Plug and replace. We've seen injury reports worse than this one.
Right.
You know.
Are we encouraged by the fact that Autry has not been put on IR by the Titans? Because IR is 4 games. This will be the 2nd game, because the Packer game, they played the Packers and the Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. There wasn't a game in between.
No.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah, it was just Packers and the Bengals.
I'd say in my mind's I'm it.
They played Thursday, they got a week off, and then they played the Packers.
They played
the Bengals.
So this will be the 2nd game that Autry doesn't play. IR is 4 games, which makes us think that Autry would be back by maybe not Jacksonville next week, but the week after that.
Yeah, because I think when you're on IR, you have to miss a minimum of 4 games when you're on IR. Now, if they don't put him on IR, if he's ready to go after 3, we can throw him out there. If he's ready to go on that 4th game, then we can put him out there. I think it would have been huge or sent a signal to the team had they put him on IR. That would have meant, hey, listen, he's out for at least 4 games, maybe even more. We may not have him back into the playoffs. So it's good that they felt good enough about his injury that they didn't have to put him on IR.
Yeah, it just shows that the injury wasn't that serious. I mean, and that is ginormous, because just like what you guys said earlier in the show, that he's a vital part of this defense. I mean, when he's out of the defense, it just doesn't feel the same with him not being in there.
So I joke about Cody Hollister not being active today with a neck injury, and we talk about how Cody Hollister, he played 7 offensive snaps against the Bengals, so it's not like he plays every play. But I do wonder how not having him, what does Todd Downing do? Does this mean more snaps for Westbrook Akine, who Vrabel has kind of highlighted as their best blocking receiver outside of Hollister, or does this mean more Treylon Burks, who only played 67% of the snaps last week? I got to be honest with you guys, 67% of the snaps for Treylon Burks, in my opinion, is not good enough.
No, it's not good enough. He needs to be in a 90 percentile. This is the guy you drafted number one. You're not trying to hold him back anymore. You say he's making that progression, you know, that you wanted to see as a player. He's doing everything that you're asking him to do as a player. Well, if that's the case, play him more. He shouldn't play 60% of the snaps. Again, he should be in the 90 percentile when you're talking plays, you know, on a Sunday. And he hasn't gotten to that point yet.
He hasn't gotten to the 70 percentile.
He needs to. And again, it's why. Yep. Why isn't he playing so much? You know, you're raving about how much of a player he is and how much he's bought into everything and he's working hard and he's doing everything right. Well, if that's the case,
yep.
damn it, play him 80% or 90% of the plays.
Yep.
You know, he's your playmaker.
Yep.
He's your only playmaker at wide receiver. He should be out there every game. He should be out there every play, I mean.
Well, let me ask you this, D. Do you think the reason why they're doing it is because they're afraid that he can get injured? And I know you can't play like that because
you can't.
It doesn't make any sense to where you said it, that he's your big play wide receiver and he's playing 67% of the snaps.
That was only last week. He played 50% of the snaps against the Packers.
There's got to be a reason why. Because if you're making plays, explosive plays down the field, and you keep coming out of the game and putting Hollister in, and I respect to Hollister, that, you know, why am I coming out the game? If I'm your number one wide receiver, I'm your playmaker, and I'm making plays down the field, why am I coming out of the game and only playing 60% of the snaps? So,
I don't get it. I don't get this whole, you know, play three plays, come out two plays, play another three plays, come out a whole series. It doesn't make sense to me. You pay these men to do a job, mm-hmm. and they need to go out there and do it. They need to condition themselves well enough that they can play a full game without coming out.
Yep.
If I had to be out there a full game, I didn't care because that's what I prepared for. This is what I love doing. If this is what you love doing, if this is what you prepared yourself for, then you shouldn't come out the game. If I'm trailing Burks, I'm like, nah, I got it. You want me to block? All right, I block. I got it. I don't need to come out the game. I tell you when I need to come out the game. I tap my helmet. Mm-hmm. So.
But
we'll
the
see.
One thing that bothers me about this is it's easy to put it on Todd Downing, and I think we all know that I do that. Mm-hmm. But Vrabel's the one. I mean, Vrabel sees the snap counts just like I do, just like you guys do. I mean, Vrabel sees 67%. He sees – this is what really, really ticked me off was Treylon Burks against the Bengals. Treylon Burks and Austin Hooper both played 38 snaps, which was 67%. Derrick Henry played 32 snaps. Jeff Swain played 31 snaps. Well, what that does, and it's not to say that every single time that they were out there was a running play and every single time, but what it is doing is it's telling me that for the most part, I'm not putting my best players on the field together. I'm putting Henry in the game with Swain, and I'm putting Burks in the game with Hooper. And the reality is for me is the Titans should just do it like this. Henry, Hilliard, Burks, Woods, Westbrook Akina, Hooper, Okonkwo. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's it.
And so if I'm going to go with two tight ends, then it's Hooper and Okonkwo. If it's third down and nine, it's Hilliard. If I'm going to go with three tight ends, it's Burks, Woods, Westbrook, Akine. I don't need to be moving in all these extra guys who honestly wouldn't even make the practice squad. And that's what bothers me about what the Titans are doing offensively.
Well, I think some of it, too, falls on a receiving coach and Moore.
Which TD has told me that Rob Moore and the positional coaches play a big role in who goes in
exactly.
and who comes out.
That's right. Why, and my thing is, I'm looking at Vrabel and I'm looking at Downing and I'm saying, listen, I understand formations you want, but this is the guy. This is my guy. This is the playmaker in the room. He needs to be on the field majority of the time. Again, when I say majority of the time, I'm talking 90% and above.
Absolutely.
He needs to be out there on the field. There's no way. If I'm a coach and I'm looking at a player and he's not coming out the game, I'm telling him, dude, suck it up. We need you out here. And they will understand. Marquee, big-time players, they understand that. If the coach comes to me before a game and say, listen, I need you in a game all the time, the player going to be like, you know what? All right, I'm good. I'm good. I want to be out there all the time. And that's where Rob Moore and Treylon Burks has to get to a point where he's telling them, you can't come out the game, man. I know you're a little tired. Suck it up. We need you on this play. We need you to set an example for everybody else. Like, we don't keep coming back out, back and forth. I'll take you out when I think you need to come out. Other than that, stay in the game, man. We need you.
And we always talk about, Derek, you made a great point. We always talk about what's the difference between A.J. Brown and Burks. And I say this respectfully, I think A.J. Brown has a dog in him, and I think Burks doesn't have a dog in him right now. And I say that in the most respectful way because when you're a dog out there, I don't care if you're tired, I don't care if your finger's broken, you're going to figure out a way to go out there and make plays. And I take my hat off to Derek Mason. And I'm not just saying that because he's my friend. Derek Mason and Stevie are some of the toughest guys I've ever been around. because if they get hit, they hurt, they're going to figure out a way to make a play regardless of what they hurt. And I think Burks needs to take that initiative as a big-time player to say, you know what, I agree with Derek that I may be hurt, I may be tired, but I need to be in the game to help my team.
Well, I'm going to say it to you like this as well. As far as the Titans, you know, with playing guys and the dog in them, Treylon Burks has to show he's got the dog
in
him before we should assume that he has the dog in him.
That's what I'm saying.
And now I'll say this. Him going up and getting that football, that 50-yard, and getting up and flexing on the guy, you know, that is.
That's not a dog. That's not. That's just making a great play.
Give me the dog.
The dog is, man, is if I'm hurt.
Going to Rob Moore saying I'm not coming out of the game.
Yeah, that too. But also, I'm gonna give you a perfect example. I think it was last year or the year before when A.J. Brown caught a slant. And it took like 4 or 5 guys to take him down to get an end zone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
So there's only been one Titan, to your point about the snap counts, Derek. There's only been one Titan that has played at wide receiver this season that has played 90% of the snaps in a game. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine played 92% of the snaps against the Washington Commanders. Outside of that, the closest anybody else has come to 90% in a game is 84% for Robert Woods in the same game against the Commanders. Now, I want to put it to you like this.
Sir.
The two receivers that Philadelphia has, DeVonta Smith averages over the course of the season. So, you know, even if you get hurt and he has to come out, DeVonta Smith averages 91% of the snaps for the Eagles. A.J. Brown averages 89%, and A.J. has been dealing with injuries this season as well. And he still plays 89% of the snaps, which is more than what he was playing here.
And that's why I don't get it with the Titans. I don't get it. And I'm sure that was one reason. You know, when I said it, you know, at the beginning of last year, everybody was like, no, it didn't mean anything. Even A.J. Brown, oh, it didn't mean anything. When a guy comes out and he tells you, listen, that guy over there was
the best
leader.
You're talking about the tweet in which he said Marcus Mariota was the best leader.
Yes, because he understood that playing and he's watching all his friends.
Yep.
All those guys that were in contract years, he watched all them. And they all were balling out. They all were putting up 1,500 yards, 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns. He's looking like, I don't think I'm going to ever be able to do it here. I just don't think I can the way this offense is built. I need to go somewhere else and get it done. Where did he go? Philadelphia. What's happening? He's going to get the 12, 1,300 yards, you know, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns. That's what he wanted. He's a big-time player. He deserves that. Treylon Burks deserves it, okay? He deserves to be out there 90% of the time. Not 70, not 60. That's like having, you know, a huge chainsaw and there's a tree outside. And you say, you know what? I'm going to chop this tree down 60% of the way with my chainsaw, but then I'm going to go get that axe.
Rusted axe.
And use the rest of it. Like, it's going to take you all day, man. What are you doing? Use the whole axe. Me, use the whole chainsaw to cut the tree down. Cut it down to at least 95% and you can push the rest of it over. Do that with your wide receivers.
Amen.
Big time wide receivers need to be out there.
100%. Do you get me kind of riled up in here, man? Because you're right, man. Because if I'm not taking that initiative to say, you know what, I want to be in the game when the game's on the stinking line, that's kind of what I'm talking about, having that stinking dog. Say, yeah, I'm tired. Yes, I'm this and I'm that. But my team needs me, and I got to go out there and make some doggone plays, man.
Here's the other thing. Going back to last year, and I go again, 90% is the number. Titans receivers playing 90% of the snaps. A.J. did once. Last season, A.J. Brown played 90% of the snaps one time.
That's
he was
the
only
Titans
Titan
way.
Receiver that did that. Except that when Arthur Smith was the coordinator, A.J. and Corey Davis were playing 90% of the snaps almost every game. So make of that what you will. We are live at Twin Peaks. Inactive today, by the way, for the Eagles. We went over the Titans inactives. Inactive for the Eagles, quarterback Ian Book is inactive. Corner Josh Job. Running back Trey Sermon. Guard Josh Sills. Guard Sua Opeta. And defensive end Robert Quinn are inactive today for the Eagles. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, their star safety, put on IR. I don't know if you guys saw the hit he took on Sunday Night Football.
Oh,
was it bad?
It was one of those where, you know, the receiver was running and Aaron put the ball right there and they kind of collided. The receiver caught the ball, but they both hit. They were both down and C.J. Gardner-Johnson got up and then he just stopped and just fell down and they ultimately had to get the cart out for him.
Wow.
They said it was a rib injury. Then they came out during the week and said it was a kidney injury.
Ooh.
So, I mean, it looked like vicious. A kidney injury. Wow. You know, where he got vicious, up and was like, I can't move. You know, it was one of those ones. So he's out today, obviously, for the Eagles since he was placed on IR. Again, we are under 15 minutes away from them opening the doors up here at Twin Peaks. Wall-to-wall sports, 29-degree drafts. In fact, the drafts right now are at 28.4 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, 28.1 degrees Fahrenheit. Wall-to-wall sports out here at Twin Peaks. It's the pregame show. TD will join us from Philadelphia. That is coming up next live at Lincoln Financial Field. It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company live from Twin Peaks out here in Cool Springs on the pregame show. Teron Davenport, ESPN. He is in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. TD, it looked almost like a very clean injury report for the Titans. But I do wonder, let's start with Jeffrey Simmons. He is active, although that's not a surprise, but he was questionable going into the game. How has Jeffrey Simmons looked so far in warmups today? What did you see in practice this week? How do you feel about Jeffrey Simmons today against the Eagles?
You know, I didn't see Jeffrey Simmons come out for warmups, but I know in practice he was out there on Friday, and we saw him just kind of do like their walkthrough and everything. You know Jeffrey Simmons. He had the ankle taped up. He's going to play, and he's going to be effective. That's just him, and that's why he holds so much value with this team.
Randy Bullock back out there for the Titans. Caleb Shudak released yesterday. TD, your thoughts on what we've seen from Randy Bullock so far kicking in warmups?
Yeah, he was kicking fine. You know, he made a lot of his kicks. And this stadium is really interesting. So there's a naval yard here, and the wind coming off of the naval yard, let me tell you something. It comes in here and it swirls, and it will impact kicks. And he's out there now, you know, looking at it. He and Craig Aukerman, they were out here early, you know, just kind of testing it out and everything. And the flags are flowing. So it's going to be an interesting, you know, situation for him. You know, he doesn't have the strongest leg. So, you know, that ball can be impacted that he kicks.
Now, TD, Elijah Molden's out. I know Christian Fulton's still dealing with, you know, the hamstring issue. That never seems to go away, especially during the season. What do we expect from the secondary against this high-powered Philadelphia offense?
Yeah, that's the key for this team to win. I think, obviously, you know, A.J. Brown, he is what he is. But then you look at Devontae Smith, right? You look at Quez Watkins, number 16. He has all the gas off the line of scrimmage. You know, he's the guy that put him in the slot, and they let him go. You know, he stretches things out. So I just want to see, because, you know, the Titans, they like to use a lot of man, you know, cover one and then, you know, cover two man and those things. I don't know that this is the team that you match up with man for man. And then also you look at where you're going to like, plays, you know, all week. You're being told to plaster, and so you're plastering, but then you're down the field back to the line of scrimmage, and Jalen Hurts takes off, and next thing you know, he's 10 to 15 yards down the field. So they're going to be just like caught in the catch-22 situation, if you ask me.
Now, with the receiver position for the Tennessee Titans, do we expect Treylon Burks to play more than what he has played thus far? Because obviously, you know, 6% of the snaps last week, less than that the week before. I know they can say, well, they're bringing him in slowly because of the injury. Now, should we expect moving forward, especially in the Philadelphia game, that he's going to play more of the snaps?
Yeah, I really think, now this is just what I think. No reporting, nothing like that. I really think they're going to look to push Treylon tonight, today, because, you know, obviously, you know the situation. He was brought on not to replace A.J. Brown, but to be another guy that could dominate in the passing. I think this is one of those weeks, and you know how everybody has egos, right? And I think this is a week where they're going to really look to get him going even further, you know, build upon the previous two games that he had. So I would expect a big game from Treylon Burks, to be honest with you. And, you know, Reed Blankenship, MTSU safety, he's going to get the start. And I think, you know, there could be one of those communication breakdowns or something like that, and he could get a big catch down the field.
You know, TD, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles have an explosive pass game. They got A.J. Brown, they got Smith, and they got Watkins. But don't forget about this running game. What do the Tennessee Titans need to do to stop this running game? Because they have a running back named Sanders. I love his last name. That has over 900 yards. What do they need to do to stop this run?
Yeah, you guys share the same last name, but you don't share the same Tyrone Hill likeness. But, yeah, I think when you look at Miles Sanders, he's not only a good running back, he's also a good pass-catching option out of the backfield.
Yeah,
It's going to be just all about, like, those guys doing what they're supposed to do. Like, anytime you talk to Mike Vrabel about the rushing attack, you know, he says, well, the key is you got to create a wall, build a gap, and swarm to the football. And that's what they have to do. But this is going to be a little different because I know you mentioned Miles Sanders, but it's all about Jalen Hurts. You know, he had over a buck 50 last week. I mean, this team rushed for 363 yards. So I think really it's going to come down to they have to have that communication up and down the line. And that's something I talked to Rashad Weaver about, just making sure that they're communicating and that they're coordinated, because you get one guy going the wrong way, that's a gap open, and next thing you know, you look at Sanders, you look at Hurts, these guys could take it a distance.
You know, just looking at this Titan front, I mean, you know, with Autry out, you know, the Titans always want to send pressure and put pressure on the quarterback to get him off his spot. You know, Autry's out, so what do you think they need to do to create more pressure to get Jaden off his spot for him to make mistakes?
I think it's going to be all about Jeffrey Simmons getting that interior rush. And I don't care who the quarterback is, they never like that. But you have to make sure if you get that interior rush that you're corralling them on the outside too. So, again, it goes back to that coordinated pass rush. It's no different than when you watch National Geographic and you see the lions hunting that gazelle, man. Like, you got one side flushing the gazelle one way to the other side that's waiting to pounce. And I think that's what you have to do in this situation where it hurts.
TD live in Philadelphia. TD, great stuff. We'll look forward to your breakdown after the game, as always, at ESPN and all your breakdowns throughout the week.
Appreciate you, Sam.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, did anybody tell you that you look like Mookie Blaylock?
You know, Chris, you may share the same last name with Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
But no matter what he accomplishes as a running back in the NFL, he will never have the record you have as a rusher in the NFL. Are you aware of his record?
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm not.
Chris Sanders holds the NFL record for the least amount of rushing yards all time.
Minus 36.
What is it, negative what?
36. Hey, Billy Bullock has more than mine. No, what's the guy?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, negative 36.
Hey, I gave him all.
I think it was like two carries, one of which was some kind of play Taylor that got fumbled, and he had to jump and, like, dive on the ball, so he got, like, the minus rushing yards.
Oh, my goodness.
On it.
And then
so he has the all-time for Chris Sanders, a record that I hope will never be, like Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. I hope it will never be broken. Chris Sanders,
in Hall of Fame,
the all-time least amount of rushing yards in the history of the National Football League.
So gosh, cold, Chris. Man.
Thank How's you. It feel?
You know, I just want to thank my mom, thank all my parents, I want to thank Jared, D. Mace. I'm just so glad I got to
Coming up next, our picks to click. Who's got a click for the Titans in order to take care of the Eagles? Crazy. We're live at Twin Peaks out here in Cool Springs. D. Mace, Chris Sanders, it's the pregame show. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Picks to click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment here on the program. Live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, the doors have opened, the crowd is here. The starting lineup is ready to roll out here at Twin Peaks. So let's get right to it. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Who needs to click offensively today for a Titans victory at Philadelphia?
I'm going to pick your guy.
Jeff Swaim?
Absolutely not. I'm going to pick. Nah, I was going to go to Hooper, but I'm going to actually go with Woods. And the reason why I'm going to say go with Woods is because everybody is going to be focused on Treylon Burks and try to take him out the game. And I think Woods needs to be huge in this game. I'm not saying he has to have 100 yards, but make those third down catches and also kind of, you know, catch those crossing routes when they do the play action.
Robert Woods needs to start catching the ball more.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he has been dropping the ball, and, you know, I expected when they traded for Robert Woods, I didn't expect him to blaze past people. He's dropping the ball too much. Had a crucial second down drop last week against Cincinnati. Has had some big third down drops. I mean, just very uncharacteristic. Chris Sanders goes with Robert Woods. Derek Mason, your pick to click on offense today for the Titans.
I'm going with the offensive line because they didn't play too well last week. Obviously, they were missing Ben Jones. But now they got Ben Jones back. Everyone can move to their back to their natural positions. And he's the glue that kind of, you know, keeps that thing together from an offensive line standpoint. He points out the blitzes. He points out the front. So those guys are able to communicate up front. When they don't have Ben Jones, I think it's a little bit harder for them to communicate up front. So for me, my pick to click is Ben Jones, but it is the offensive line.
By the way, good pass rush for the Eagles today.
Exactly.
Very deep defensive line for Philadelphia. Guys.
Come on. Austin Hooper.
No.
If you do.
We were at Third and Home in Germantown. Uh-huh. It was the two of us and
yes,
TD.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And we were sitting there, and all of a sudden we heard the Titans had traded A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles, and we're on the clock with the 18th overall pick.
Oh, there you go.
And they drafted Treylon Burks with the 18th overall pick.
Yes.
And they can say whatever they want to say about how they didn't draft Treylon Burks to replace A.J. Brown. That's exactly what it was. When you trade one guy and then use the pick from the guy that you traded to draft a guy to play that guy's position, and everybody compares those two guys, that's exactly what you're doing. Treylon Burks has not lived up to it yet. He has not. Now, he's had two good games in a row, and as we've said, hopefully the offensive coaches have realized, hey, you know what, let's play Westbrook Akine less and let's play Treylon Burks more. I think they're going to. You heard what TD said about how they've got egos. I think the Titans want Treylon Burks to have a big game. Yeah. I think the Titans are going to set Treylon Burks up to have a big game. And I think, can I get an amen for the fact that finally the Titans have somebody that can go catch a deep ball?
Amen.
Because Treylon Burks can do that.
Yeah,
I am going with Treylon Burks. I think they are going to need Treylon Burks to be their A.J. Brown. I think they are going to need Treylon Burks. And so I am going with Treylon Burks on offense.
I mean, I do kind of agree with you. He's got to take over the game. I mean, I'm not comparing him to A.J. Brown, but he's got to get to the point over here. He's the bona fide number one threat on this offense. So he's got to go out and prove it. He can do it by doing it today, but he can't just, you know, catch a ball here and there. He needs to completely take over this game.
He needs to be given opportunities. I think if you target him like a number one receiver, he will produce like a number one receiver. If you target him as if he's the number two receiver, then that's what you're going to get. You drafted him in the first round for a reason. So start, you know, going out there and you know, jumping on that reason that you bought him, meaning that you drafted him, and that was to make big plays. I guess you got to pay him too.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving on. Defense.
If I wasn't a black man, then.
Hey, I did not say I have nothing to do with that.
People
would have
said, oh my goodness, what are you talking about?
We know.
Nothing to do with that. Okay.
All right.
Defensive pick to click, Chris Sanders.
Man, I'm going to go with McCrary. And the reason why I'm going to go with McCrary, because, you know, the last couple of weeks he's been getting exposed. I understand he makes 1,000 tackles. But he's not, and I'm saying this in a respectful way, he's not big in height. So the offensive coordinator is going to take advantage of that and throw the ball deep, and he's going to have to come down with a play. If you look at last week when they went against the Cincinnati Bengals, what did they do? They got the matchup with Higgins. They threw the ball up, let Higgins make a play because he's not the bigger cornerback. He's got to step up and make plays. I know he makes tackles, but he's got to make an interception that turns the game around.
Did we learn last week that he's not big enough? Like in this game, Devontae Smith's a little guy. AJ's a big guy.
Yep.
Did we learn last week that he's not big enough to go up against the big guys because of what T. Higgins did to him?
He looked uncoordinated.
He's not. No. He doesn't have a long enough reach. He's not, you know, he's not the 5'11". And, you know, even at
that's
his
what
size,
they wanted Farley yeah, to be was
exactly.
A guy that could cover a big receiver.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to tell you, Jared. I'm just going to tell you this. as the old John Madden would say, hey, listen, put a zero around that guy. Put a highlight around that guy. Okay. David Long Jr., because that's my pick to click. Yeah. Put a highlight around him.
There it is.
You know, put a star around that man. Why? Because of Jalen Hurts. He must contain Jalen Hurts and not allow him to get outside the pocket. This is your fastest linebacker. He can cover one-on-one in space. He can run down just about any quarterback, not named Lamar Jackson. So put him on that guy. Allow him to spy when need be. Jalen Hurts, because if you don't have one guy spying him, then it's going to be a long day for you. I think for me, David Long Jr. is the one guy that needs to impact this game in a positive way, and it starts by containing Jalen Hurts when he gets outside the pocket.
Can I ask what happened to David Long last week?
He got face masks, and saying. That was the end of it.
100%.
He got face masks in the first three snaps of the game, and that just demoralized him. He never came back from that play.
He got mushed.
Because he's a really good player. Yeah. I mean, he's really, really good player.
So when you get mushed like that, man, that does something to you. That does something to your ego, man.
He got mushed.
My pick to click is Tyrre Tartt. Because
we haven't heard his name in a while, have we?
What the time we have not, other than when he hit the snapper the other day on that field goal. Oh, yeah. What's going to happen, and it's really not just Tartt. It's Tartt, it's DeMarcus Walker 95, it's Kevin Strong 97, it's the guys that play next to Jeffrey Simmons who have the responsibility of stopping the run. Because to D Mace's point, David Long is probably going to be the guy assigned to spying Jalen Hurts, which means that he's not going to be able to tackle in the run game. Well, if the Titans' defensive linemen like Tartt and Strong and Walker don't get the push on the Eagles' offensive line, and it's a very good Eagles' offensive line, if they do not get the push, then the Eagles will be able to cover up the other linebacker, whether it's Dylan Cole or Joe Schobert or whomever that may be, and the Eagles are going to be able to run the football effectively. The Titans have got to stop it. They've got to stop the run with the guys. They can't commit extra guys to the run. They've got to stop the run with the big fatties up there in the middle, and I'm looking at Tyrre Tartt, who is more of a run player than he is a pass player. I am looking at Tyrre Tartt to be the guy to do that today.
Well, he's going to have to. He's going to have to give that extra help now that Danico Autry's not in the game. He's going to get opportunities because they're going to be double-teaming Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. That's why we love Tyrre Tartt. I mean, that's why we love Danico Autry so much. It's because when they double-teamed Jeffrey Simmons, he was able to get inside the, you know, get to the quarterback. Now that's Tyrre Tartt's job is to, when they're double-teaming Jeffrey Simmons, now he has to make them pay as an interior lineman. And if he doesn't, it's going to be a long day. We saw it last week from the Tennessee Titans. They didn't get the push. It was a long day. Not that, you know, Cincinnati rushed for a bunch of yards, but they were just physical. They were a little bit more physical than the Titans, so they need them to step up.
And not only that, the Bengals really called them out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they really called out the defensive line. They really embarrassed them, I think, on TV. This is a big day. Not only that, with a guy like Tartt, I feel like Tartt is a great number three.
Uh-huh.
Where Simmons is number one, Autry's number two, Tartt's number three. Well, if you want to get paid $8, $9 million in this league, you got to be a number two.
Yeah.
And that's where I think if you're Tyrre Tartt, this is the opportunity for him to play like that. So I look at Tyrre Tartt today, and he's my pick to click. Our picks to click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Sorry about that.
It's too much. This guy right here.
I do have one quick thought with this.
This guy.
The college football playoff rankings are coming out as we speak right now. The official final, who's in, who's out.
Is Ohio State in, you think?
You, Chris Sanders, went to the Ohio State University.
Ohio State, sir.
Derek Mason, you played for Nick Saban at Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Who should be the fourth team in? Should it be Ohio State or Alabama?
You know,
roll tide, baby.
So you think it should be Alabama?
Absolutely.
You know what? Sanders of the Ohio State University.
I hate to say this, and I'll never go against my alma mater, but I think that Alabama should be in because they played the tougher schedule. I hate to say that. They played the tougher schedule. Ohio State plays.
But both of them are going to get in.
No.
Not both of them. You think? TCU going to get in.
Georgia will be one. Michigan will be two.
Yep.
And then TCU will stay three.
Yeah.
Now, if we're going by what the committee has already done, when you've lost, doesn't matter, you drop two to three spots. So they can't change
it. But the other teams
it.
Didn't play.
But they set it up perfectly for Tennessee. When they knew Tennessee wasn't going to play an SEC game, they knew that Michigan, Ohio State had to play, or someone was going to lose in the top four during championship weekend. And they were going to move Tennessee up. Alabama is in the same situation. Ohio State's in the same situation. Ohio State will move up two spots. Alabama will move up two spots. They're going to move, USC down 3-4. They're going to move TCU down three spots. And they're out of it.
If both Alabama Ohio State end up in the playoff.
Alabama's going to
And I don't think they'll do that. I cannot imagine punishing TCU for the fact that they played a conference championship game. But with the other two teams didn't.
They got beat up
in
their conference championship.
They lost in overtime.
It doesn't matter. K-State was the better team last night.
I don't disagree.
The other day.
I don't disagree. But if they put Alabama and Ohio State in there, then it is all about the TV ratings. And that because Alabama and
when has
Michigan
it not been about the TV
and
ratings?
Georgia and Ohio State would be, when they put Cincinnati in last year, would be freaking TV.
Why did they put Cincinnati in?
Because they beat Notre Dame, who was the only other team.
What was their record?
13-0. There it is. It was not only that they were 13-0. It was 13-0, and the only one loss team that was left was Notre Dame, who they had beaten at Notre Dame.
There you go.
So there was no argument to put Notre Dame in.
Alabama won't get in.
Tennessee fans of Alabama, I agree with you. I think it'll be Ohio State at 4. And if Alabama gets in, Tennessee fans are going to lose their mind. Okay. Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. We'll get to that next. Plus our final game day predictions for the Titans and the Eagles. That is next. And if they drop who that fourth team is, we'll let you know. Right here live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, it's the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, it is the pregame show ahead of the Titans and the Eagles. And by the way, if we find out, ESPN is currently in a commercial break right now. If we find out who the four teams of the college football playoff are, we will let you know as soon as possible. But we take a look at the keys to the game from Mike Vrabel. We start defensively, A.J. Brown and the Eagles. Mike Vrabel's key to the game, though, is not A.J. It's not Devontae Smith. It's not Jalen Hurts throwing the ball. It is the Eagles' run game.
Be a good place to start. Quarterback design runs. Runs, obviously, with Sanders, and then the other hidden yardage in the quarterback runs when they drop back to throw it and you don't contain or you don't have coordinated rush lanes. That's something that's going to have to get better than the last time we played last week.
So not only were the Titans not great, offensively running the football, the Eagles are third in the NFL, and they're second in rushing attempts. Derek Mason, how big of a deal is it today for the Titans to contain the Eagles' running game, and what should be the fair expectations for a team that clearly wants to run it as much as they do?
I think it's going to be imperative for the Titans to stop it. And I'm not saying – and I don't mean their traditional run game, because I think the Titans will do a good job in traditional run game. Sanders, you know, that offensive line, Sanders versus the Titans' defensive line linebackers, I think the Titans will hold their own there. It's Jalen Hurts, getting outside the pocket, him getting those unscheduled plays, you know, those off-the-script plays, him scrambling, getting outside the pocket, nobody's there, him rushing, you know, for 10 yards here, 15 yards, 20 yards here. They can't allow that to happen. I think the Titans will do a pretty good job at containing Sanders, but the guy you need to worry about the most is Jalen Hurts getting outside the pocket.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, D. I mean, if he gets out of the pocket, but also those zone reads. I mean, the defense really has to keep their eye on the football. And if they don't keep their eye on the football and they think the ball's going a different way, that's where he pulls that ball out, and then all of a sudden he's getting outside and making those plays. So they just got to play disciplined football, keep their eyes on the football, and not let him make those explosive plays. But then you got Sanders, who has over 900 yards that they really don't talk about because he's overshadowed, you know, by A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith because they're the big names. Sanders, I think we can't let Sanders beat us because he's one of those guys that can make some explosive plays.
Coach Bob Shoup said during the week, I asked him about, you know, defensive coordinating against the Eagles, which he actually did coordinate against Jalen Hurts when he was in college. And Coach Shoup said that the key for the Titans was going to be to keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket and make him beat the Titans from the pocket. Do you guys think Jalen Hurts, if the Titans force him to throw with A.J. and Devontae Smith, do you think that Jalen Hurts will be effective enough from the pocket? Because I worry about the Titans' pass rush, like we saw with Joe Burrow last week, like we saw with Patrick Mahomes with the game on the line against Kansas City, opening up the opportunity to run, and Hurts wants to run.
Yeah, he's the type of guy, if you watch Hurts, he loves extending a play. He'll take the run if he needs to, but he wants to make plays down the field. He's always been in a position where he's had these playmakers outside, so he buy a little time and then, you know, deliver the football downfield. I think it's the same situation here. That's why I said, from a defense standpoint, they got to communicate in the secondary. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because once Jalen Hurts gets outside the pocket, you know he has that ability to run, but then he has the ability to throw off the run. So you got to be conscious of that as a secondary. You got to flash it when he gets outside. Make sure you a man is on a man, but also that's where David Long Jr. comes into play again. Because if I'm plastering as a secondary, I have to be confident enough that you're going to do your job, you know, from a defensive front standpoint, meaning that if you're called to spy him and make sure you pay attention to where he goes, then that's what you need to do as a defender. You can't turn your back to him and expect the defensive line to get him every time.
You know, and I think the linebackers really have to pay attention to their keys. When I say pay attention to their keys, is they got to watch where the running back is lined up at. And when I say that, to where, you know, you got Jalen Hurts in the shotgun, but you have Sanders that's slightly a little bit behind Hurts, that means it's inside zone. But if he's lined up right beside him, then it's going to be outside zone. So they definitely have to make sure they read their keys so they don't get their eyes lost in the backfield.
The second key for Mike Vrabel offensively is to stay on schedule and keep the Titans out of third and long.
We can't live in third and 10, third and 12. You know, we have to continue to be efficient on first and second down and pick up first downs or have third and short. You know, really Washington is the blueprint. They beat these guys in Philly, caused four turnovers, but what they did was they had a bunch of third and ones, they had a bunch of short yardage opportunities that they converted. They possessed the ball. And they were able to score.
Chris Sanders, yeah, out of the Titans. Stay out of third and long today.
You know, the one thing they definitely have to do, and we talked about this earlier, is they got to pass on first down. Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely have to pass on first down and stay in front of the chains. But I think the reason why they don't do that sometimes is because they're afraid to stay behind the chains. But you got to take it to where it that can't be third and 10 and third and 11. It's got to be third and 2 and manageable to where you can have a variety of plays you can run. You can run the ball. You can pass the ball. But they got to make sure that they stay out of third and long.
Well, I mean, it's just like anything, you know. Your first two plays of a series need to be positive plays. Whether you run the football or throw the football, they can't allow themselves to get in a second and 10 or third and 9 or 10. The Titans don't thrive in that position. They thrive when it's, you know, third and 3, second and 7. Now we can both run the ball and throw the ball. We can throw a screen here and there. But when you're behind the chains, it makes it very difficult because they just hadn't proven consistently that they can go out and make those plays when it's second and long or third and long.
Time to take a look at the final line on the game today, presented by Superbook Sports. Voted the number one sportsbook app in Vegas. Download their app today. The line opened at 5.5 in favor of the Eagles. It has dropped and is going to close at 4.5 in favor of Philadelphia. We have breaking news. The college football playoff is set. Georgia will take on Ohio State, who will be the 4 seed. Michigan will take on TCU in the 2-3. Alabama and Tennessee left out.
You're out of there, buddy.
Of the college football playoff. So, Chris,
yes,
congratulations.
Hey, thanks,
even
buddy.
Though you said that Ohio State does not belong in the playoff, your Buckeyes are officially in the college football
playoff.
Can't
remind them that I said that, man.
I think it's a disgrace that Ohio State's in there. That's just me. But I digress.
I put Michigan State
I think
in
a neutral, on a neutral site, it'd be a different game.
Ohio State, Michigan?
I think the second go-around would be a much different game.
Even though Michigan beat them at home?
Yeah. I think playing a team for a second time, it's hard to beat them twice in a row.
Game day predictions. Who wins today and why? Chris Sanders will start with you.
You know what? I've been going back and forth to this. I want to pick – you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, but I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans 24-21. I just think that I'm just not sold on Philly. I know they have some great players with A.J. Brown and all those other guys on offense, Jalen Hurts. But I think that with the Titans, with the power football, they want to hit you in the mouth. I don't just think that Philadelphia's built for that. Titans got to run the ball, pass the ball, do what they need to do. And I don't think Philadelphia's ready for that.
I like the Titans. I like what Vrabel's doing. I like that he gets them up for games like this. I really do, because not many coaches can do this. He's arguably one of the top two or three coaches in the National Football League. But I just don't think – I think it's more so like Cincinnati last week. Not that Philly is going to impose their will over the Titans, because I don't think that's going to happen. But I just think they got too many playmakers on the outside. And the Titans have too many injuries on that side of the ball. So I'm picking Philadelphia to win this one. 31-17.
I'll go with Philadelphia too. Just too much firepower. I'll take Philadelphia 27-13. That's going to do it for us. Big shout out to our friends here at Twin Peaks. And of course, we'll be getting you ready for the Titans and the Jags next Sunday morning for D Mace, for Chris Sanders. Yes, we'll see. It's been the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Appreciate it.